You can look at your husbands, you can look at your wives, boyfriends, you can look at your girlfriends, because the girls always use the guys. So guys, you can look over and, you know, give them that little bat. All right, but it's not that kind of love. We're going to be talking about godly love, brotherly love, Jesus Christ type love, not the kissing on my wife type love. That's for February. All right. So we're going to get into John the 15th chapter. We're going to start talking about love, the subject of love, the topic of love. Ooh, it's a tough one. It is. It's hard. As some of you, I saw somebody reposted or something on my Facebook. I had the greatest opportunity to experience love tonight. I'm going to talk about it later. But whew, let's get into the Word of God. But before we do, let's pray. Can you guys join with me in prayer? I'm going to ask if you would just join with me. Let's stand as we go before the Lord in prayer, just in reverence and in honoring Him. Father God, we come before You in this place, and we're just so grateful for the opportunity that we have to come into the house of the Lord. Your Word tells us that I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Father, I thank You that as we come into the house tonight, Father, that You would speak to us. We fully acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the senior pastor of this church in any service, Father. And we don't come into this place to hear from a man, but we come in this place to hear from You, to hear Your Word and Your will and Your ways, God. And we just ask that You would open our eyes to see and open our hearts to hear the Word that You would cause us to hear, Father. I ask, Lord, that You would help us to get it tonight, Father, that we wouldn't just come, hear some guy talk about some subjects, and then leave this place, Father, but we would get it tonight, Lord. We would leave this place impacted. We would leave this place empowered to do what You have called us to do and be the body of Christ. And we just give You the praise and the glory and the honor. And we all said, amen. All right, you guys can be seated. And if you got your Bibles, let's turn to John, the 15th chapter. Now, the pages might be a little cool. We've had a couple week break. And we're going to dig right back into John, the 15th chapter. We've just been going through John, the 15th chapter, kind of line by line. Topic upon topic, thought upon thought, word on word. I mean, it has just been some deep but rich stuff. And if you recall, we've been talking about abiding, the series, the 1,500-part series that we had. Not really. I think it was somewhere in the range of 13. But the 13-part series that we had called Connected to the Vine, you recall that Jesus Christ brings the subject, brings the topic to us about abiding in the vine and Jesus being that vine, God being the vine dresser, you could think of it like the vineyard owner, the person that looks out for the vine, that makes sure that it's doing what it's supposed to make sure that it's healthy. And you and I are branches of that vine. We are very parts of it. And Jesus brings to this conversation a word we hear: abide. To abide, to be connected to. If you recall, we really kind of hammered this word home. We're really just pumped full of insight and meaning. But if you don't remember what abide means, I'm just going to give you a real quick thought to it. Because as we get into this, Jesus brings that thought, abide, into this next topic. But then He changes the thought from being a vine to now something else, the speaking of love. So we move now through the vineyard. Now Jesus is talking, and He's kind of changed His thought. He's changed His message. He's gone on. He's moved to the next point. But this word abide still abides. Wait a minute. Okay, this word abide still remains. So if you remember, the word abide means to be a part of, to not remove yourself from, to live in, to not hang out with, to not just be like, oh yeah, okay, I know that. Like, you don't abide in Shift. You may think that, oh, what? Shift, I love it, man. I abide every week. But you're not here Friday night. You're not here Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. What, right? Because Shift is only 1 week. I mean, you're here, but to abide, you abide in your home, right? You abide in your bed. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, we kind of relating to that one, right? I mean, you know, you go to a hotel or you go to, you know, sleep on a friend's couch. It's nothing like your own bed. As raggedy as it may be, you abide there. So when Jesus says, you know, I am the vine, abide in Me, He's saying, listen, don't disconnect yourself from Me. It's not just, hey man, come hang out with Me when it's convenient for you or when everybody's looking. To abide means to be physically apart. Like my arm abides in my body. My arm cannot disconnect itself and remove itself and go start its own little thing over here. To abide means to be connected, to not be removed from. So here we're talking about the subject of love as we get into John the 15th chapter. And Jesus continues on with this thought of abiding. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to John the 15th chapter. We're going to pick up in verse number 9 tonight. I got three simple points talking about abiding in His love. Verse number 9, as we get into it, Jesus is preaching and they're walking through the vineyard. If you can just grab a hold of this. And He begins to say, as the Father loved Me, I also have loved you. Abide. There we see abide in my love. So once Jesus said, abide in me as being the vine, and then he said my words, or first he said, then I would abide in you. So Jesus says, if you're a part of me, I'm a part of you. But then he goes on to say, you remember he said, if you abide in me and then my words abide in you. So he kind of changes it up a little bit, saying that when we abide in Jesus, his words, the word of God, the will of God, the teachings of God, the Bible tells us that the word will not return void. The word would abide in us. It would be connected to us. We would begin to call it up, stir it up in our lives, begin to act upon it. And he goes on to say that, you know, that pleases the God that you would bear fruit. How do we bear fruit? By abiding in Jesus. Now he goes and says, if you abide in my love, verse number 9, if also loved you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse number 11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. So tonight, we're going to take a look at those three verses. Tonight, I'm going to pull three simple points that you can take home, take with you during the week, and begin to apply to your life. You know, this isn't, you know, love is something that we talk about. Love is a common topic when you talk about churches and when you talk about, you know, what Christians are supposed to do. It is no new thought that, you know, Jesus Christ said to love one another. As a matter of fact, a few chapters before this, John the 15th chapter, Jesus says, you know, love one another as I have loved you. This is a new commandment I bring to you. So already Jesus has begun to speak this to the disciples. It's not a new concept to them. He's just kind of reiterating it. And love is something that we talk about a lot. But I really believe that we've got some simple things tonight, but I want to drive some points home to really show you that it's not just about, you know, actions. It's not just about saying things. It's not just about trying. But we're going to dig into it a little bit more. That it's much deeper than that. The word abide doesn't just mean, you know, try to love people as they, you know, do this or they do that to you, or try to act in love or try to walk in love. It's a different concept altogether. And I believe oftentimes we grab a hold of this, but only in the smallest sense, not the quite the magnitude that Jesus Christ had intended for us when he began to speak to it. So tonight, we're going to talk about three simple things. Number one, out of John the 15th chapter, point number one tonight, keeping his commandments keeps us in love. Keeping his commandments keeps us in love. I'll keep that point up, and I'm just going to read to you verse number 9 and verse number 10. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So keeping his commandments, capital H, Jesus Christ, keeps us in love. Now, the interesting thing is, where I want to bring to this, and I want to kind of hammer this in, is that I'm telling you something that kind of sounds obvious, but let's get a little deeper here. Let's kind of go a little bit, you know, a little bit further in this thought. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. You know what the interesting thing is one of his commandments is to what? Love. So if we keep his commandments, we abide in love. Well, duh, Pastor Luke, if we love people, then we abide in love. But see, the difference here is Jesus is speaking. That's where most Christians stop, right there. Oh, yeah, all I got to do is just keep his commandments. In John 13, chapter verse number 34, he said, a new commandment I bring to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, Jesus says that. But it's different than that. It's not just that. He says, listen, if you keep my commandments, not my commandment, he says, you know, if you listen to the words that I'm saying, if you keep my statutes, if you keep my teachings, if you keep my law, my regulations, my guidelines, it will keep you. You will abide in love. Love is an action, something that you and I have to do, something that you and I, we all know, hey man, Adam, right back there. I just saw right before I went on, I'm going to call him out, right before I came up here. He posted on Facebook that people were giving him mad dog looks because he was driving 80 on the freeway and they were mad dogging him. It's not easy always to walk in love. So love is an action. Love is something that we have to decide to do, something that we have to reach out and say, man, I'm going to do what God commanded me to do and to love. But also love is a byproduct of living God's commandments. The Bible tells us that the fruits of the Spirit are what? Love. Number one, right there off the bat. So here you see that love is an action, yet love is also a byproduct. And what Jesus is saying is going so much deeper here by saying, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, you stay in my love, you are connected to, you don't remove yourself from it, therefore you begin to reflect it. So it's not just about saying, I'm going to try to love somebody today. Hallelujah, brother. More so, it's about beginning to grab a hold of the teachings of God, to grab a hold of the statutes that Jesus says and apply them to your life. It's not behavior modification. I'm not here trying to tell you that you ought to change the way you act. If somebody slaps you, smile at them and just because the Bible says that you should. But in your head, you're like, man, I want to punch that guy back. Because that's behavior modification. You know what the bottom line is with behavior modification? It only lasts for so long. You know, we try to change. How many times this month, this year, have I been trying to diet? It's like, I tell my wife, I wake up in the morning, today's the day. I'm going to go on a diet. Behavior modification, that lasts for about 35 seconds. And then she buys donuts and it's like, cool, I'll start it tomorrow. You guys have been there, you know it. I'll start the diet tomorrow. Behavior modification doesn't last. And that's not what I'm talking about tonight. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Now all of a sudden, if we start to see that we keep his commandments will form us, will shape us, will guide us. The word tells us that his word is a lamp unto our feet, a guide to our path. His words, the statutes, his laws, a good thing, will shape us, will mold us, will create us to be who we are. And a byproduct of doing so, we will act, we will react, we will live a life of love. That's a spiritual modification. That is a change in us. That's why Paul the Apostle says that we are new creations. You know, guys, if we try to just love in our minds, we're not new creations. We're still thinking, we're still living, we're still operating the same way we used to. There's no difference. We raised our hand in a service one time and we said, okay, great. I'm going to try to love, you know, people. I'm going to smile at them as they flip me off on the freeway when I'm going 80 miles an hour. But the bottom line is that's not where it's at. It's not just about behavior modification. It's about heart modification. And when you begin to adopt, when you begin to grab a hold of, when you begin to digest, to make it a priority, to make it the priority of your life to live according to what God says. He says, if you keep my commandments, then all of a sudden, love doesn't just become an action. It becomes a byproduct of what you're doing. Are you guys with me tonight? I don't have this up on the overheads, but I'm going to read it to you because I just love this verse. Psalms 119. If you got your Bible, turn there. Let's read it together. If you got your Bible, Psalm 119. You guys with me tonight? Psalms 119. Now, there's a lot of verses in Psalms 119. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Maybe another night. But I'm going to read you just a couple of them. I want you to grab a hold of the heart here, because that's what we're speaking of. Psalms 119. How can a young man cleanse his way? Okay. All the girls are like, wait a minute. Tune out. No, okay. How can a young person, let's go to the new modern NIV that takes all the you know, whatever. Okay. How can a young man, how can I, a young person, cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We know that verse. We've heard it many times. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate on your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes and I will not forget your word. Here the psalmist is writing, you know what? We can see God's laws, God's ways, God's commandments as one of two things. We can see them as a confinement, as a jail cell, as something that limits us to the way we are, or we can see something that we can delight in, that would change us, that would modify us, that would mold us into be what God has called us to be so that we might be fulfilled. It was our option. But the bottom line is that we have to begin to meditate. We have to begin to think. We have to begin to digest. We have to begin to shout. We have to begin to live his statutes, to love them. Guys, they're not bad. Oh, but Pastor Luke, I can't have sex before I'm married. Woke some of y'all up. You know, is that a bad thing? Oh, you don't understand. Going to the club. No. But God does those things not so that you can be, I'm this weirdo. I'm this guy that has that stiff neck. I just have these things. But no, he does that for your own betterment so that you can focus on him, so that you could be effective in the ministry of the Lord, that you could shine his light. He does that for your heart, for your soul. whatever he does. Pastor Joey mentioned a long time ago a message about love, about God is love, and everything that God does, he does it out of love for you, his statutes, his ways, his wills, church. They're not to bring you down. They're not to confine you. They're not to hold you back, to put a crutch on you, to make you different from everybody else, but they're to expand you, to make you more than you've ever could imagine, to build your territories, to expand your horizons and your thoughts, because God, with God, all things are possible. So we have to acknowledge, we have to stand upon his words, we have to delight in them. In 1 John, the second chapter, verse number 4, the Bible says, he who says, I know him, capital H, speaking of Jesus, and does not keep his, capital H, Jesus, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But he, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Perfected. The love of God is perfected. Perfected in him. Why? What did he say? How is it perfected? By keeping his commandments. By this we know we are in him. He who says he abides in him, there's that word abide again. This is 1 John, not John, 1 John. Ought to himself also walk just as he walked. So tonight, keeping his commandments keeps our love. When we keep Jesus Christ's commandments, we keep his love. We abide in that love. You know, I recall there was I was just talking about this with my wife. You know, and there was a situation in my life where I have a friend or a rather more a close family member. And they drink, you know, and they drink not just a casual type of drink. I mean, they drink. I mean, drink. I've been around them when they drink. I mean, like, you drink. Okay, not just, you know, you know what I mean? Do you guys get what I mean when I say it like that? Okay. So anyways, this close friend, nay, this family member, would always try to get me to just, you know, drink with them. And you know, he understood after a while, you know, that when he busted out the hard liquor when I was around him, you know, and I'm not saying like I would go to the bar with him, like, Pastor Luke, why are you around him when he's, like, just at his house, you know, at our common family member's house, whatever. I'm just around the situation. He started busting it out. You know, he started offering that. No, it's okay, man. It's all right, you know. And then you can kind of get the point. All right, that's kind of hard stuff. And he even talked to me, you know, I don't like doing this. It's not my life. I just kind of do it. I just out of habit. But then he started calming down as he got older. Now he drinks. He drinks a beer every once in a while, and he has, you know, occasional drink, and, you know, and he knows that. But for a longest time, every time, man, he'd pull out a beer, he'd crack it open. Hey, Luke, you want one? Nah, man, I'm all right, you know. Every time, you know, for years, it's like, dude, come on, bro, like, don't you know? And, you know, we had these long discussions, you know, about, you know, why don't you drink? Why don't you, why, you know, what's the deal? You know, and I had a decision, and I had a choice. And this is talking about operating in love, keeping God's commandments. Now, we have the choice to love where we have the choice to judge. And I just told him, you know, man, I myself in my heart, I made a commitment to God that I'm not going to drink. It's not that I can't. Jesus turned water into wine. It's just that I don't like not being in control of my own spirit. I don't like being in control of my own man. You know, I don't like the taste of it. I just, not for me, man, you know. Okay. But he never felt judgment. But I didn't tolerate. I didn't accept it into my life. I didn't say, all right, man, just to be cool, I'm going to do this. You know, and then I can recall that there's been other people in my life. I've been around them where maybe somebody who is not yet a Christian or somebody who's a weak Christian may have gone to a restaurant and they've ordered a beer or they've ordered a drink, and that other person who is a Christian, a very staunch, a very, you know, very notable Christian, would make a big deal. Oh my God, I can't have you at the table with me. Somebody's going to see you with the beer at my table. And they would make a big stink about it. And I can tell you the difference between somebody who makes a big stink about it versus somebody that loves the person, says, you know, man, I love you. I'm just not going to do it. I make the decision. Doesn't mean, and I'm going to say this, it doesn't mean love and tolerance are two separate things. Just because you love somebody doesn't mean you have to tolerate sin. And I've told that family member before when he's gotten drunk in front of me, just because I love you doesn't mean I have to tolerate and say, oh, that's cool, man. Don't worry about it. You do your thing. I do my thing. But it also doesn't mean that I got to go and boycott the abortion clinics. Or I got to go boycott, you know, American soldiers' funerals. Or I got to speak out against, you know, the homosexual movement. You know what? I may not support it. I may not condone it. But I can still love the people that God had called me to love, but not tolerate the sin in their lives. And, you know, you got to watch the commandments of what Jesus Christ says and read them. Because so many Christians, like I was talking about earlier, go surface level with love. And they say that love is an action, but love is a byproduct of following the commandments of God. And if you read the commandments of God, you would know that you don't get people into hell by condemning them or into heaven by condemning them. You get them into heaven by loving them. But it doesn't mean that you have to tolerate it when society comes and says, this is acceptable. This is the way things are. Why are you so close-minded, church Christians? You know what the bottom line is? My Bible still says it's an abomination. But I still love them. I can still love the person. And I can still tell them that God loves you. Because the Bible says that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But I'm operating in the commandments of Jesus Christ to love what? One another as Jesus Christ loved us. We operate in the commandments. By operating in the commandments, we keep his love. Are you guys with me tonight? Woo! All right. Number two. Out of John the 15th chapter. The example of love for us to follow is from Jesus. The example of love for us to follow is from Jesus. Duh, Pastor Luke. You know, Jesus came. He died for us. We should follow that example. I get it. You know what the bottom line is? There are so many examples for us to follow. Going back to just what I was talking about, I'm not trying to get on a rabbit trail, but there are so many different movements about love. Love everybody. Just love. Remember the hippie movement? Love, man. Just love. You know what the bottom line is? Love is what love is. You know, you can look at a husband and wife and you can follow that example as what. That's what love is. But does that apply to two friends, two homeboys? Do I love Joey like I love Stacy? Nope. But I can love like Jesus loved me. And I can share the love to the world how Jesus shared the love towards me. So the only example for us to follow in love is from the source of love itself, Jesus Christ. You guys with me tonight? We're in John the 15th chapter. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. What does he say? Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus Christ just said, hey, listen, if you can keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Look at the example. Just as I kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love, abided. You like that? I don't think that's right English. Abode? What's the word? Just as I have kept his commandments and abide in his love. Jesus Christ is the example for our love. You know, God didn't just tell us how to act. And that's the bottom line. He didn't just lay out the law. Here's the Ten Commandments. You see Moses coming down the hill. Because you know what? We saw how well that went when God just told us how to act. Right? Looking at the children of Israel. Looking at the kings of old. Looking at where Israel went. Says, you know, obey. Don't worship idols. And Moses is up there on the hill talking to God, and Aaron, the high priest, says, hey, man, let's take all the gold and make a cow and worship it. Okay. So we see how good it works when God just says, hey, listen, here's some instructions, read them and follow. It's kind of like nowadays, you know, guys, we don't like to read instructions. We get that gadget. We don't need that. We put it together, and all of a sudden there's a couple bolts left over. There's some parts left over, right? When we try to just read God's instructions, there's some parts left over. There are some bolts left over, and we leave things out. But when we look at the examples that God gave us, then all of a sudden we can say, ah, I see, I understand, it makes sense to me. We read something, we say, I don't get it. But then we see it in action. All of a sudden, it makes sense. Are you guys with me tonight? Jesus Christ is the ultimate example. He sent his son to show us how to live, not just to tell us how to live. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't tell us how to live. He sent his son on this earth to show us how to live. You guys with me? As a people persecuted, Jesus still loved them. As they came against them with malice in their heart, he read the situation and he loved them. As he went to the temple and he saw that they had whored out the services of God to make it a marketplace, and he made a whip and he beat the tables down, he still loved them. He didn't storm out of there. He didn't punch a hole in the wall and say, forget you, I'm going back to heaven. He still loved them. Jesus was the epitome of love, the example of love, love incarnate. But he was no pushover, church. Just because you have love for somebody doesn't mean that you let them walk all over you. Now, the Bible says that if somebody slaps you, turn the cheek. If they take your shirt, give them your coat. If they say, hey, walk with me a mile, walk with them too. Yeah, because that's the example of God. But it doesn't mean that you can continually allow somebody to pummel you, to push you over, to tell you that you're nothing. Because look at, Jesus made a whip. I have not made a whip. You have not seen Pastor Luke come here with a braided leather whip, whipping all y'all. Right? Just because Jesus loved doesn't mean that it gave him the right to be a pushover. But he operated in love. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse number 9. Bible tells us, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us. God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Live through him as the example. To see how he lived, to see how he acted, to see what he did, and live through him. In this love that, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, to be the one that stood in for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us, we also ought to love one another. If God loved us, use the example and love one another. In a couple of verses we'll read in John the 15th chapter, we're not going to get there tonight, but Jesus says, hey, no greater love is there than this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. So Pastor Luke, does that mean that I got to go like die for somebody? Jesus says there's no greater love than that. So am I saying that you got to go die for somebody? Am I saying that you got to go over to some other third world country and be a martyr? So that people might understand, God, that's not what I'm saying. But let me present to you this. You may not have to die physically for somebody, but how about dying to yourself for somebody? Wow. Oh, we got past that surface level right there. We may not have to die physically. We may not have to be nailed to a cross like Jesus Christ was, but he gave us an example. He surrendered himself for the betterment of mankind. Now, can we surrender ourselves in our own lives for the betterment of somebody else? Can we step out of our comfort zone? Can we step out of something that, man, I don't want to do that. Man, that guy just slapped me in the face and then he took my jacket. Well, here, take my big jacket. And here's the other cheek. Make it red for me. Dying to ourselves. Jesus Christ led the example. No greater love is there. So if we want to live a life of great love, how about we die to ourselves for the betterment of somebody else? You know, I once heard that the definition of love was personal self-sacrifice. Well, wouldn't that therefore fall into that category of personal self-sacrifice, meaning I put myself below or behind the needs of somebody else, that I love them just as much as I love myself? Therefore, I'm going to surrender. You know, this is not what I want to do today. As a matter of fact, my sister asked me to do something for her on Tuesday. Ah, my day off. I knew it was going to take all day. I knew it was going to be longer than what she said. I knew it was going to be awkward. I knew it was going to be weird. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but uncomfortable. I remember telling Stacy as I woke up, God, I'm not looking forward to today. But you know what? Love, because she's a family member, says, you know, I'm going to put myself aside. It's my day off. I got nothing else to do today other than to sit at home and just relax. I'm going to go help her with whatever it is she asked me to do. Why don't we extend that love to not just family members, but those around us, to the family members of Christ, to the family members of those in our own, of those in the common love with Jesus. We ought to love one another as Christ loved us, to follow the example of Christ. Are you guys with me tonight? Number three, conclusion tonight, out of John the 15th chapter, joy, joy, joy comes from abiding in his love. Joy comes from abiding in his love. John the 15th chapter, verse number 11, he says, these things I have spoken to you. That's a very important statement there. He says, listen, everything I just said is there for a reason. That my joy, my, capital M-Y, my, the joy of God himself, my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. So God's joy dwells in us so that our joy would be full. You guys get that? Are you guys getting the magnitude of that? God's joy equals our joy. You see the relation there? It's like, you know, put it in like on a chalkboard. God's joy remains, equal sign remains, okay? Our joy. God's joy would remain in us that our joy might be filled. Joy comes from abiding in God's love. And just as we read the psalmist, you saw, if you read it with me, you saw the punctuation. He wasn't just writing that, oh God, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Your statutes, I think about them every day. I delight myself in your word. No, the psalmist wasn't like that. He was passionate about it. His statutes, his word, his commandments, his love reflected that. And all of a sudden it was like, I can't contain it anymore. God, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The passion comes out when the joy of the Lord comes into our hearts. When we live in the commandments of God, now all of a sudden we don't see them like we just talked about. We don't see them as a crutch. We don't see them as a confinement. But now all of a sudden we see them as a path to empowerment, as a path to seeing ourselves was what God had originally created us to be. He said, the Bible tells us that he made us in his image. Yet when we wake up in the morning, I look at the mirror. I don't know about God looking, you know, me looking like God. But all of a sudden, when we begin to operate in the commandments of God, we begin to operate and love becomes a byproduct. Love in our life, smiles begin to reflect. Why? Not because of the situation around us. Not because I'm blessed with heaven's best or blessed and highly favored when somebody asks you. But no, because the love of God imparts in our life because the commandments of God we have hidden in our heart that we might not sin against him, that we might apply what his word says to our each and every day life, that we might live, breathe, eat, and sleep his word. So now all of a sudden, like the Bible tells us, old things have passed away because now we're not the same. We're not digesting. We're not eating. We're not looking after. We're not doing the same thing. But now all of a sudden, we have become new. And we are now new creations because something is different. Not because we're trying to do it on our own. With men, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And the Bible tells us that his joy would remain in us when we abide in his love. So when we're living in God's love, what does that mean? By keeping his commandments. You seeing this? All of a sudden, God's joy remains in us that our joy may be full. Jesus calls us the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Are we really the light of the world and the salt of the earth, church? Do we reflect that in our lives? So we're going about, does that reflect the love of God? Does that reflect being a Christian? How are you doing today? I remember my Bible teacher, Brother Hagin, when I was at Raymond, used to say that people would vomit on you. How are you doing today? Blah! You know, just like all their bad news. Sometimes we as Christians like to do that to other Christians, but rather let's reflect the love of God. Why? By keeping his commandments and living and abiding in his love. And when we do so, not our joy, it's not up to us to command our joy. It's not up to us to conjure up happiness, but now all of a sudden the joy of the Lord remains in us that our happiness, our joy now might be full. You see this, guys? It means that we are not, it's not up to us to try to make ourselves happy, to try to talk ourselves into being happy. But if we live in the commandments of God, if we live in the love of God, if we operate in the things of God, God's love will remain in us. Therefore, we will be happy. And we don't have to conjure something up. We don't have to fake it. But really, truly, we will be full of joy. It's so deep. Are you guys with me tonight? Did I lose you? Quiet. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse number 17. John writes, so, love has been perfected. Perfected, again we see that, among us. In this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, capital H, Jesus Christ, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. John says, listen, torment and love don't go hand in hand. You can't live in love and be tormented. If you follow after the kingdom of God, if you follow after the statutes of Jesus Christ, if you live, you abide, you keep yourself and don't remove yourself from his commandments, from his love. The Bible says that perfect love, that love is perfected by abiding in him. That perfect love casts out all fear. How many know, is there joy when you're afraid? Perfect love casts out all fear. I love the story of Nehemiah, young Hebrew, in captivity. God tells him, hey, go to the king and tell him that you want to rebuild the city that he sacked. Okay. So Nehemiah goes to the king and says, listen, God spoke to me. I heard that Jerusalem, the walls have been torn down. I heard that the city's in ruins from you. Whatever, king. No, he didn't say that. But he says, listen, can I go back and rebuild the walls, to fortify the walls so that somebody else may not come and attack it? I mean, you know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, king, you've just sacked the city. You've destroyed it. You've shown your power. Can I go back and rebuild it so that we can be our own again? Hello. King ought to have been like, you know, off with his head. But no, he says, go for it. So Nehemiah takes them in and they begin to build the walls of Jerusalem. And then as the walls are finished, they have a ceremony and they begin to read. They bring the Hebrews back together and they say, you have forgotten the laws of God. They bring the priest and the priest reads the laws and the statutes of God and the people begin to lament. They begin to mourn. Oh, I can't worship idols anymore. Oh, I can't do this anymore. I can't do that anymore. And Nehemiah says, what are you doing? This is a day of celebration. This is a day of goodness when all of a sudden we get to see that God loves us and his joy is fulfilled by us living according to his laws. In Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, it's not on the overhead, but I'll just tell you. Nehemiah says, go, party, have a good time because today is a day of celebration. And know this, that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Church, tonight, when you're living down, when you're feeling like it's not working for you, when you're feeling like life is caving in on you, live according to God's statutes. Follow his commandments with all your heart, not out of a grudging obligation, but because he saved you. For God loved you. He gave us the example to know, number one, tonight, that keeping his commandment keeps us in love. And knowing that when we live in love, the example for us to follow is Jesus Christ. You guys with me tonight? And knowing that joy comes from abiding in his love. And the joy of the Lord can be our strength when we put our life in his hands. Tonight, let's live a life according to love. It's not just about leaving out of this place, going out of this place, and just saying, hey, I love you, brother. Be blessed. The Bible says, what good does it do if a man is naked and hungry? You say, oh, I'll be clothed and filled. Okay, what good does it do but to live a life, not to just try to act, you know, because when we try to act in love, we try to walk in love in our own knowledge, in our own sense, it don't work. I had an opportunity today to live love. You know, I don't know if y'all ever thought this is when you know you ought to start checking yourself. I'll just tell you the story real quick. You know, I had the opportunity today to live in love. I had a phone call with customer service from my cell phone carrier. Hello, if you've ever been there. Transferred 7 billion times. The line got cut off 4 different times, and I had to call back and start from the beginning, only to get transferred 4 different times, and the 4th person transferred me to the very beginning again, and then I had to go through the cycle again, and then, no kid you not, then I sat on the speakerphone on hold for 55 minutes before somebody else answered my call. I had the opportunity to test whether or not I was going to live in love. And you know, this is when I say you got to check yourself, is when you say, you know what? They don't know who I am. They don't know that I go to the Rock. They're never going to see me again. I'm going to act. And then all of a sudden you start going into them, because that's what my mind was playing, that scenario over and over again. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. They don't know I'm a pastor. They don't need to know that. But then all of a sudden the lady answered the phone. And I was just like, hey, this is the situation. As I kept my eyes closed, I've been on hold for a very long time. This is a problem that I'm trying to resolve. I've been cut off. I can't tell you. And just spoke to her quietly and held my composure. I had the opportunity to lose it. She would have never known who I was. She would have never seen me again. Chances are if I would have called AT&T again, oops, I let it out. If I was to call that cell phone carrier again, I wouldn't talk to her. I would talk to somebody else. I'd be some number of a call from that one day that's forgotten. But the bottom line is that it's not about action, because if we try to do it just out of action, we're going to fail. But it's about a heart. It's about the lifestyle. It's about the decision to say, you know what? They may not know who I am. They may never see me again. Took my line, dude. But are they going to see God? Because the Bible says that we're the light of the world. that our light might be shined so that others might see God's glory. So do they see God's glory in me, or did I miss it? And now all of a sudden, see, you know, it's not about you. It's not about Jamal. It's not about Mike. It's not about Pastor Joe. Oh, man, Pastor Joe, he's a cool guy. It's not about that. It's about, did they see God in you? Did you reflect God? And how do you do that? John the 15th chapter, by abiding in his love, by keeping his commandments, by following the example of Jesus Christ, and knowing that the love of God brings joy in your life. Did you guys get something out of that tonight?